Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, April 3rd. The State Senate will make changes to the budget bill that passed out of the House last week. Even though both parties agree on many funding priorities, such as roads and schools, Benta Berkland has more.
Lawmakers have more money to work with this year, which takes away some of the sting of past budget fights. Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg of Berthoud sits on the Joint Budget Committee. He says the House added more amendments than he's ever seen.
The Joint Budget Committee submitted a balanced budget to the House. The House has just blown the lid off of that. We need to live within our means, and this year the means are rather generous.
Members of the GOP-controlled Senate will now strip off all those amendments added by the Democratic-controlled House and start from scratch to add their own changes. Then it'll be up to the bipartisan Joint Budget Committee to iron out any differences. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Wildlife biologists in Colorado say as many as one-third of wildlife species in the U.S. face possible extinction. Eric Gladys has the story.
Up to a third of the nation's wildlife species are at increased risk of extinction, according to a new report, Reversing America's Wildlife Crisis. The National Wildlife Federation research says more than 150 species are already extinct, and 500 more haven't been sighted in decades. But David Ellenberger with the National Wildlife Federation's Colorado office says there are paths to recovery.
Because we really do have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to save hundreds and thousands of species, actually, across this country that future generations will inherit.
Ellenberger notes the conservation work could be paid for through royalties from resource extraction on public lands if Congress passes the Recovering America's Wildlife Act. The measure would send $1.3 billion to states to fund state wildlife action plans already in place. State agencies have identified some 8,000 species in need of help, and the number of species petitioned for listing under the Endangered Species Act has increased by 1,000% in less than a decade. Bruce Stein, the National Wildlife Federation's chief scientist, says the legislation would provide the kind of investment needed to address the scope of the problem.
It would allow us to reverse the wildlife crisis and fully implement these state wildlife action plans. It's an opportunity to make sure that we safeguard not just our conservation legacy, but this amazing diversity of wildlife species that we steward here.
Ellenberger points to success stories, including the reintroduction of the Canada lynx, as proof that concerted efforts can make a difference. Two decades ago, after discovering that the lynx had vanished in the state, Colorado Parks and Wildlife went to work.
And now there's over 250 lynx in the high mountains of Colorado. We know how to do this. It's not rocket science. We just need more funding and resources to really save a broader spectrum and diversity of wildlife in the state.
Ellenberger adds the issue is also important for states that depend on wildlife tourism and outdoor recreation. He says the industry contributes more than $880 billion a year to the national economy and creates 7.6 million jobs. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
By most measures, the American Southwest is in its 18th year of drought. And that's leading some to ask, if a drought lasts that long, does it need a new name? Luke Runyon took that question to farmers near the Four Corners.
From the roof of Chuck McAfee's adobe farmhouse in southwestern Colorado, you can see into three other states, Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. The one thing we can't see is any snow.
And right out through there for about a couple miles is a great cross-country ski trail, but that hasn't been used this winter either. No snow.
McAfee grew up here, the son and grandson of farmers. At 76 years old, he now works with a rancher to run cattle on his land. And that land is dry. In his front yard, dead, twisted pinyon trees are a reminder of the last winter that was as dry as this one.
Everybody talks about 2001, 2002. And so that one was a very dry time, just like this is. This is appearing to me to be scarier and worse.
Without snow, water supplies diminish. And without irrigation, farming here is close to impossible.
Drought is often viewed as a lack of water, and it's viewed as a temporary situation.
Brad Udall is a climate and water researcher at Colorado State University. He recently published a paper with other academics within the Colorado River Research Group. It says, are conversations about drought in the Southwest need to change.
Some people phrase it the new normal. The problem with that phrasing is it implies that something's predictable here. And under climate change, it's a constantly moving target.
And if we use the wrong words, he says we might come up with the wrong solutions or hold on to false hopes that the drought will eventually go away. That's why Udall is critical of some water managers in the Colorado River Basin who, because of political pressure, use code words like drought to mean climate change. At a farm show at the Montezuma County Fairgrounds outside of Cortez, Colorado, the dry winter is on Mike Nolan's mind.
If something doesn't change, you know, it's going to be really tricky. I'm worried, for sure.
Nolan grows vegetables on 7 acres for CSA shares and farmers markets in the nearby Mancos Valley. He's already anticipating he'll run out of water this season. In the larger scheme of things, farmers like Nolan don't care what the dryness is called.
Drought is this thing that comes and goes, and that's dangerous because we should be having the same conversations and being as resilient as we can, whether we're totally flush with water or whether we're not.
Still, Nolan sees the limits of the word drought in a region that can't seem to shake it. In the past 18 years, a couple of wet winters have given hope that the dry times are done for a while. But it hasn't been enough.
We only talk about it on dry years. It's kind of hard to move forward.
I mean, language is how you think, right? It's how your opinions form and how your thought processes work.
Again, researcher Brad Udall.
This isn't really drought. This is the ongoing aridification of the Colorado River Basin. And we think we should start to talk about it in these terms rather than this older term, drought.
Back at Chuck McAfee's ranch, he tells me about the few times this winter it has snowed. When he runs into other farmers, McAfee says the conversations the last 18 years usually follow a script.
We all talk about, oh my gosh, it reminds me of 2001, and oh my gosh, we're really worried.
And then there's some mention of how there might be a change in the weather right around the corner.
And that's about the end of the conversation. What else can you say?
Conversations about climate change are already fraught and could be made even more difficult when we don't have the right words to reflect the changes going on around us. I'm Luke Runyon.
This story is part of ongoing coverage of the Colorado River, produced in partnership with public media station KUNC in northern Colorado, with financial support by the Walton Family Foundation. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.